The change is already happening, gang. We are in the middle of a global shift. Now, I break it all down in my most important book yet, America Awakened. Go to AmericaAwakened.us and get early access now.
Sir, hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary. Because the fact of the matter is, a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your...
Hands behind your back.
If you let me see my hands, go ahead. Put them behind my back.
Cool. Lay flat.
I can watch that on a loop to loop all day long. I voted for every split second of that. That was, of course, a video of the now officially insane California Senator Alex Padilla, who up until yesterday, literally no one on the planet even knew existed. Kristi Noem was in Los Angeles giving a press conference on the riots when all of a sudden, a senator that no one knows because he wasn't elected, I don't know if you know that, he was actually appointed by Gavin Newsom, he stormed into the room like a raving lunatic and came within just a few feet of Noem before security took him down. Because again, no one on earth knows who the hell this guy is, nor should they. But we do know that when Trump was the subject of law enforcement, when he was getting indicted, this guy, this Senator Padilla, he was one of the first to post, of course, no one is above the law. Well, you know what they say about karma. Now, of course, this was all coordinated and choreographed. The Democrats, being good Marxists, never, ever do anything spontaneously or individually. They have no freedom of thought whatsoever. So before the senator was even wrestled to the ground, we now know Chuck Schumer, Spartacus Booker, and a number of others, they all took to the Senate floor denouncing this next level dictatorship. The very same rhetoric they used all throughout 2024 that resulted in their landslide, humiliating landslide loss. But after the dust cleared from this latest fabricated Democrat stunt, I think even the Democrats were pretty stunned to find out that literally no one other than the most faithful, rabid lunatics on MSNBC, no one was behind them on it. Once again, this is an antic that got zero cultural traction. Zero. No one's putting Mexican flags on their Facebook posts. No one's putting up their Mexican flags on their Instagrams. No one is bending that. This is Jesse. I borrow this from Jesse Waters. No one's bending the knee with a sombrero hat, right? No one is saying, you know, we are Mexico. No one. No, this is getting zero cultural traction. And that even includes their mouthpieces in the legacy media. Check this out.
It's a federal building. You can't just, you know, wander in there necessarily. What reporting do you have, and how should we, in your view, be analyzing how we're seeing these agents respond?
Well, It's easy to think about this as one incident, but actually from a law enforcement perspective, we're really looking at three separate incidents that happened within a short period of time. First, you have the DHS secretary who is addressing the press. This was not a Q&A period, and she's interrupted. She's interrupted by someone who is speaking very loudly. And so her security detail confronts what we obviously now know to be the senator. And at that point, he is now going to be escorted out. You can't interrupt something like that that's already in progress without having those consequences. But the second incident, in my view, happens the moment as officers are trying to lead him out, he then turns and walks back towards kind of into those agents. At that point, from a security detail perspective, we're taking this person out against their will. We've asked the person, and again, this is all happening very quickly. But the moment he then turns into them, they realize this is not someone who is going to comply.
Yeah. We're taking him out against his will. I love it. You know, when you've lost CNN, what? How did it work out for Biden after June 27th, the debate, when he lost Tapper and CNN? Because that's when Tapper went, oh, I can make millions on a book. Oh, yes, excellent. But when you've lost CNN, I mean, what are you going to say? And it's not just CNN. Democrats like Stephen A. Smith, they are openly wondering what the hell has happened to this party.
This senator, Alex Padilla, can Kristi Noem speak? Could you have waited till she finished to ask your questions? To shout your questions? You are a senator, right? You couldn't wait? So that was just you out of control because you were just losing it, huh? You, a United States senator, couldn't compose yourself and let the head of Homeland Security finish her thoughts before you asked the question. Couldn't do that, huh? Couldn't do it, huh?
But first, while the corrupt federal elites have been quietly building wealth through cryptocurrency, hardworking American patriots have been left behind. But there's an amazing solution to that. I want to tell you about BlockTrust IRA. They're bringing access to cryptocurrency wealth to real Americans. Now, you all know I'm a big fan of crypto. It's supercharging President Trump's America First economic miracle. And now you can be a part of it. I partnered with BlockTrust IRA because their mission perfectly aligns with President Trump's Make America Great Again agenda, smashing down the barriers between loyal patriots and the financial freedom they deserve. Their Animus AI trading platform works 24/7, analyzing market data and executing advanced crypto strategies that are beyond simply buy and hold, helping true American patriots build impressive wealth in Trump's historic economic boom. There's a reason their system was named the number one crypto technology platform by Bitcoin Magazine from over 1,500 global competitors. So whether you're a teacher, a truck driver, small business owner, or retiree watching inflation eat away your 401k, BlockTrust IRA's advanced Animus AI gives red-blooded Americans the same advantages as those coastal elites. So right now, their clients are seeing over 250% returns on their investments. You heard that right. 250% returns. And with military grade scrutiny, investments are protected by up to $200 million in insurance. So what are you waiting for? Visit TurleyTalksCrypto.com and find out how they can help you join the Trump Crusade financial revolution that's finally giving forgotten Americans access to the greatest crypto wealth opportunity in history. For a limited time, they're offering my viewers up to $2,500 in bonus crypto when you open an account. That's absolutely amazing. So do not wait on this. Crypto created 80,000 new millionaires last year. Why not you be next? Visit TurleyTalksCrypto.com. That's TurleyTalksCrypto.com, making retirement great again. I lost Steve. Oh, come on, Steve. Come on over. The water's great in MAGA. Come on. Now, unfortunately for the Democrats, losing CNN and losing Stephen A. Smith is really the least of their worries. We have a whole slew of new polling that came out this week, and I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be blunt. Every single one of them, each one separately, but all of them collectively, they all together spell the same thing. This week has been an unmitigated disaster for the Democrats. Disaster doesn't even begin to describe it. And then just think about all the propaganda that was at their backs all throughout the week. Again, from CNN and MSNBC and ABC and NBC, and with all the 24/7 propaganda that nobody listens to anymore because it's the post-Biden media, right? More than 60% of the nation believes the media lied to them during the Biden era. That's not going away anytime soon. The trust and confidence that the vast supermajority of Americans have had in the past, the media is gone. Okay, so it goes. But here, I'll give you, even with all of that, here's the results. This is the latest from JL Partners. Whose side are you on? the police or the protesters? Look at that. 51% say the police, just 26% say protesters. 2-1. Think about your 80-20 doom loop here. 2-1. Just 26% say they are on the side of the protesters. That's a 25% margin for the police. Tom Bevin of Real Clear Politics posted this. He has numbers from a Democrat polling outlet. So this is a Dem-leaning polling outlet that was doing research for the Democrats. And they did research in terms of how they're working out, how their message is working out on immigration this week. Voters gave the Republicans a 43% approval in terms of how they're handling immigration. Democrats, 19. 19. 54% disapprove of Republicans, 77%, almost 80%, almost 8 in 10 disapprove of the Democrats' handling of immigration. So Republicans were 11 underwater because 54% disapproved and only 43% approved. So they were 11 underwater. But Democrats were underwater by freaking 58. Nearly 11 versus minus 60. Here's another one from JL Partners. The anti-ICE protests in Los Angeles have been mostly peaceful. 15% agree with that. 15%, again, after the whole week of propaganda, 15% agree that the protests have been mostly peaceful. That's even worse than an 80-20 issue. That's 85-15. No one's buying this pathetic propaganda. No one except the most rabid 15%, 19%. That's it. This is the 80-20. I said that I was on Newsmax on the panel with John Glasgow last Sunday morning. And I said that was the first thing. These riots were first breaking out in LA. And it's one of the first things I said. This is an 80-20 issue, not just here in the United States. It's all throughout Europe. Why do you think the Patriot right is, or the populist right is rising all over the continent of Europe? It's precisely because they want their borders secured. It's precisely because of border security and national sovereignty. That's their number one issue everywhere. It's why India has the BJP, the Bharatiya Janata Party, and Prime Minister Narendra Modi. He's won 3 landslide elections in a row, largely because of national sovereignty. It's what's animating Russian nationalism. It's what's animating Chinese nationalism. It's what's animating Turkish nationalism. It's what's animating Israeli nationalism and Iranian nationalism. You name it. You go all over the world. It's the same thing. They want their borders secured. If I were an advisor to the Democrats, and thank God I'm not, but if I were an advisor to the Democrats, I would have told them on day one of this, when this was just breaking out over the weekend on Saturday, I would have told them, this is a loser. Stay away from it. Marginalize and isolate these rioters. Do not embrace them. Say, we are all for, like Fetterman is trying to do, we are all for border security, but we don't want to do it this way. But they can't. I mean, I would have said that, and then I would have said, yeah, but then you blew that over the last 4 years when you had the border wide open. You brought 12 million illegal migrants into the nation, 3 million per year, 8,000 per day. I mean, it's, you know, a quarter of a million every quarter. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, what do you, you blew it. You blew it. You've got no credibility on this issue. Moreover, let's go back to Rasmussen. 55% say Democrats should work with Trump. 55% of the population want the Democrats to proactively work with Trump. That's a very clear majority. They don't want resistance. They don't want a summer of love. They certainly don't want these ridiculous antics. The vast majority of the electorate wants the Democrats to do what they are thus far refusing to do, and that is work with Trump. So what's going on here in the end? What are we seeing happening, literally unfolding right before our very eyes? In the Democrats' descent into madness, we're basically seeing the Democrats become overtly who they really are. The best analysis I ever came across on this was from the veteran political analyst Alex Castellanos, who often talks about this. Alex's assessment of what's really happening with the Democrat Party, all of this insanity, all of this incoherence, all of this madness, this weeping, this gnashing of teeth, the singing of songs out of key, the screaming, the violence, this is all happening in a word, because the Democrat Party is dying. It's in its death throes. And he makes the argument that in the end, Joe and Kamala, what we could call as, I mean, we could call it the Kamala catastrophe, but Joe and Kamala together, the Kamala catastrophe really did mark the end of the Democrat Party as a viable party. Again, they might be able to win an election here or there, but if they really are descending into these death throes, their days are over. And we saw it with Kamala's campaign in sort of microcosm. Her disastrous campaign, looking back, it was disastrous. I mean, we saw it, we recognized it. But it revealed the decaying, leprous soul of the Democrats for what they had really become. Again, Castellanos has been a student of political campaigns for decades. He's brilliant. And he noted that what you see in campaigns that are losing, that are nearing their end, is they often go after the most radical thing that appeals to their base, right? So they're done trying to reach out. They're done trying to, you know, to reach the undecided voter or the milquetoast supporter of their opponent. Now it's just the most radical, red meat, extremist, rabid supporters that they go after to try to galvanize them to get out to vote, because they're the only ones who are supporting them at this point. But in the process, sometimes campaigns just run out of message. They just run out of script. And then they just become who they really are. And in this case, with the case of the Kamala catastrophe, what we saw towards the end was the lifting of the joy, joy, joy veneer that they tried to sell us on, that the legacy media was harping on. We had the lifting of that joy, joy veneer and the exposing of what turned out to be, in reality, the single most vitriolic, hate-filled, miserable, psychotic campaign yet seen in American history. And what's so key here was that none of that was scripted. None of that was straight and intentional strategy. None of it. It was literally the party unraveling in real time, or in this case, the campaign unraveling in real time. That's why the Kamala campaign, frankly, looked so haphazard and random and so poorly improvised towards the end with all those disastrous interviews. Remember the Brett Baer interview where every answer was a tirade against Trump, or the CBS 60 Minutes interview with answers so embarrassing they literally had to edit them? And they're about to get sued for billions. Well, they are getting sued for billions over that. The Democrats just simply ran out of message. And having run out of message, they were left running on the fumes of their hate and who they really were. It's all they had. And for Harris, as Alex Castellanos put it back then, he said you could smell the decline. That's what Castellanos had said about the Harris campaign. You could smell the decline. Now he is saying that decline, that decay, dare I say, that decomposition that putrid odor is indicative of the whole of the Democrat Party itself. They have no issues, literally none. They have no leader. They have no vision. And without issues, without vision, without leadership, and by the way, and not to add in the voter registration tallies, they're literally hemorrhaging voters as we speak. Nationally, Republicans have over a million newly registered voters advantage over Democrats. And so without the veneer of vision, without the veneer of leadership, without the veneer of issues, without the veneer of growth, they're basically imploding in on themselves and are just becoming overtly and explicitly what they always were. A party of hate, a party of vile resentment, and a party that at its core manifests the worst possible vicious bigotry imaginable. In short, the Democrats are dying. And as you've been witnessing all this week, we're watching that death row play out in real time.